Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on Newstalk.
Talk.com. But first, let's have a look at the main business stories in the international business stories and websites, which we shall do in the unrivaled company of Kathleen Brooks from XTB. Good morning, Kathleen.
Good morning, Jay.
I hope you had a lovely weekend and I hope the weather wasn't too bad. I know that the UK and Ireland are having a similarly miserable June thus far.
Oh, it was, yeah, Saturday was like October, but it brightened up towards the end of it. So you've got to just make hay while the sun shines,
I reckon. You absolutely do. Talking about an airline that's making hay, Ryanair may resort to the courts over potentially cancelled Christmas slots at Dublin Airport.
Yeah, I mean, Michael O'Leary is absolutely fuming with the Irish aviation authorities, and it's their failure to assign extra slots to Ryanair for the winter schedule, something that O'Leary thinks could actually push up the cost of flying to Dublin at this Christmas to €1,000, so a huge amount of money. And it's because the IAA, they rationed the slots to Dublin to prevent the airport operator from exceeding annual passenger numbers, which the cap is set at 32 million. Now, that was down to a 2007 ruling, and it was to stop blocking the roads around Dublin. Well, Michael O'Leary is saying that things changed so much in that time, and that was a long time ago now, that they need to upgrade that. So he's putting a lot of pressure on the finance, on the transport minister to do this. He's threatened to only fly to Belfast and has said that Ryanair, which is obviously Ireland's most successful airline, won't be sending its 50 new Boeing jets to Dublin on the back of this and has already cut some routes. So he's really putting the pressure on there to try and change this system. And he is really ransoming Christmas for all of the Irish expats around the world, and probably including my husband, who like to fly back in December.
Yes, indeed. And Michael O'Leary will be on the Pat Kenny show, and I'm sure he will have something controversial to add to that. That's just after 9 a.m. Now, there were plenty of rumours over the weekend, Kathleen, that Saudi Arabia may start trading its oil in Chinese yuan instead of dollars. That could be interesting.
It could be, yeah. So these rumours have been swirling for a little bit of time, that there was basically a 50-year agreement between Saudi and the US to only sell oil in US dollars. Now, they're saying that this has expired. It was signed in 1974, and it's expired without a new deal being in place. So on the back of that, Saudi is now going to decide to start selling its oil in multiple currencies. So the renminbi mostly, but also in euros and potentially yen. So this story has actually been rubbished by some of the bigger oil analysts. But I think we just haven't heard anything from either side, which is leading some to think, well, maybe there's no smoke without hot fire here. But I think it's kind of an interesting time to talk about how oil is priced and whether or not the dollar does need to be the dominant force, certainly that Saudi sells in anyway, because last year the US became the world's largest oil producer. So it's definitely eroding some of Saudi's clout for sure. And it produces and is well able to produce enough for its own use. So in that case, why can't Saudi sell oil in any currency? Obviously, you've got to exclude the big argument about the US dollar and how important it is to capital flows around the world. But there's a massive shift going on at the moment as well. Like the International Energy Agency last week said that China and India are going to fuel demand for oil in the next, for the rest of this decade out to 2030. And that the West demand is just absolutely collapsing. Not because the economies are blowing up, although that could happen. It's more because oil is being replaced by renewables. So as much as we talk about how much we need oil and energy security, in the background there, we're using so much more oil and so much more solar and wind power that actually is reducing our demand for oil. So there's definitely a debate to be had over that. But whether or not Saudi does change things, it would be quite a logistical nightmare, I imagine, charging in other currencies.
And of course, it's been charged. The US dollar has been the global reserve currency for so long.
Yes,
it's difficult to see it ending. But yeah, there is a new world order developing, and one gets a sense that there's going to be a bipolar world, and you're either in China's orbit or you're in the American orbit. I suspect we in Europe will be in the American orbit. But as you say, India and to a lesser extent Russia looks as if they're moving into the Chinese orbit. Now, let's move across to music. The Taylor Swift impact on an economy arrives in Dublin next week and could shake up more than the Aviva, where she's playing.
Oh, I mean, absolutely. They're saying that her, I think she's got three nights in Dublin at the end of June, and it's going to make 150 million euros for the rest of Dublin, for the wider Dublin economy, the hospitality economy. And that the average Swiftie is spending 1,000 euros on
this concert.
It's crazy.
I saw that.
What
do they? I mean, I understand a meal. I might even understand the hotel, but what else do they spend on? Is it a new frock?
Well, yes, exactly. They're saying one in five people are buying new outfits. And that's certainly adding up. The cost of tickets as well. Tickets were between kind of 150 to up to 700 euros, Joe. And I believe you're going to this concert.
I am going on the 28th. I'm not going to buy a new dress, though, Kathleen, to be honest with you.
Are you sure? Yeah.
I'm tempted.
Well, I tell you what, she's earned $1 billion from this. So she's, broken all sorts of records for her Eras tour. But this Eras tour is an economic event as much as it is a global event. And, you know, she's coming to London this weekend she's been all over the UK, obviously, and that's expected to raise £1 billion for the UK economy. So she is going to be welcomed back, I'm sure, with open arms. So if you didn't get tickets this time, don't worry, she'll be back, I'm sure.
Finally, Ozempic patients are shopping for smaller clothes these days.
Yes, absolutely. One of the unexpected side effects of the weight loss drug is the rush for users to buy new clothes in smaller sizes, which comes at a great time for the clothing sellers, really, because apparel sales in the US fell 4% last year. But it's really interesting. So brand Lafayette 148, they've announced that they've seen 5% of customers buying smaller sizes. And considering 6% of adults in the US, that's 15.5 million people, are taking these weight loss drugs, it's a huge change. And again, one of the unexpected side effects. For example, Impact Analytics have said that they've seen the sales of the largest women's shirts fall by 10%, and the smaller sizes have seen a sales boost of 12%. Wow. So again, one of the unexpected side effects. So something, this drug is probably only going to grow in popularity. So I think those plus size retailers are probably a little bit worried at this point.
Yeah, indeed. And it's made Novo Nordisk the biggest company in Europe by a mile as a direct result of selling the Ozempic and Wegovy. Kathleen, thank you so much for your time and expertise. That's Kathleen Brooks, the Director of Research with XTB.
Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.